I want us to open our Bibles briefly, if you would, with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, because I want us to take a few minutes tonight to pray for these things, to pray for the Perrettes, to pray for their ministry there, pray for some of the things that we saw here tonight while it's still fresh on our minds. And I think this passage can help us with that. 2 Thessalonians 1. Verses 11 and 12. This is another of Paul's prayers, or rather a passage where he reveals what is the content of his prayer for his readers, something he does often in his letters, as you know. And I think it's a good model for what we ought to pray for ourselves and each other and other believers, and what would be a good thing for us to pray for our friends in China. Verse 11, Paul says, "To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Just briefly here, I see three requests, three prayer requests, or three things that Paul prayed, really two requests and one ultimate overarching motivation or goal. In light of your future, if we could summarize verses 5 through 10 that way, in light of what's coming when Christ comes, this is what we pray for you always, that our God will, number one, count you worthy of your calling. Let that sink in. That your life, your character, your conduct as a Christian will measure up to your calling. You've been called to salvation. You've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. You've been called into fellowship with God, with his Son, Jesus Christ. That you will measure up to that is what he's praying for them. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. "It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." You were called, this is your calling, that you may gain the glory of Jesus. Do you understand that? That's what we're called to. That's what our calling, that's where it's going. That we will gain the very glory of Jesus. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the prayer is that you, here and now, would be made worthy of that. Right? And the idea is of a scale. You remember the old scales of justice, you know, where it's a pendulum and you have these two plates, two sides. And on one side is your calling. Gold. Solid gold. Heavy. Weighty. Profound. You know, significant. And on the other side is your life as a Christian. What's got to go on that side for it to balance out? And that's what he's praying, that your life, that you would be counted worthy of this calling with which you've been called. And, you know, you say, well, whose life as a Christian is ever going to be worthy? Which of us would ever be counted worthy of our calling? None of us. How could we? But that's what Paul prays for, that God will count you or make you worthy. You say, how does he do that? Well, it goes back to what we saw in verse 5 of that same chapter, or really verse 4, where he says, "We speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering." So there's the same idea. Here it's worthy of the kingdom, but it's the same idea. How is God going to ever consider you worthy of his calling, or worthy of your calling, or worthy of his kingdom? And the answer is by your perseverance, right? By our endurance and faith in the midst of all our persecutions and afflictions which we endure. That's what he's saying, that it's by remaining steadfast and faithful through suffering that we are counted worthy. And so many times, I think we miss that. We are constantly trying to avoid suffering, aren't we? Avoid persecution, for sure. Avoid afflictions. Skirt them. Or if we're in one, get out of it. We're always praying to be taken out of them. And yet, that is the very thing that God uses to test and prove our faith, so that we will be considered worthy of the kingdom and worthy of this calling. This is why we suffer. Do you understand? This is why there's so much stuff going on in our world that's putting us into a context where we're going to be experiencing more and more suffering, more and more persecution, more and more affliction. We read it again this morning in Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Paul said, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom. We want out of them, and God is wanting us to go through them, because that's how he counts or makes us worthy of our calling and worthy of his kingdom. So we ought to pray that way. Lord, give me grace to persevere and not grow weary, but to endure all these afflictions and not be exasperated by them as if some strange thing were happening to me, but to recognize this for what it is, part of your work in my life, making me worthy of your calling. Secondly, that our God will fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, what is he saying there? I love this thought, and I think it's the perfect thing to pray for the Peretz. I mean, this fits them perfectly. What he's saying here is that our God, by his power, may bring to fulfillment your every resolve prompted by goodness and your every work resulting from faith. Every good thing that you desire to do, every good work that your faith can dream up to believe God for, may God fulfill that. May God grant that. May God make that happen by his power. Isn't that a great thought? God, give us big dreams and big goals and big plans, and then make them all happen. Make them all come true. I mean, if we went around tonight and just said, you know, what's the good desire of your heart? I think of Nathan and his counsel. It wasn't correct, but the thought was good when he said to David, go and do all that is in your heart. And I think about that, you know, in my own life and in our lives as believers. If God gave the green light, go and do all that is in your heart, what would it be? What's in our heart to do? What work of faith excites you? What do you long to do in ministry? If your God was bigger, you know, if he was big enough, what would you dare? What would you dare to do? What would you seek to do? And Paul is praying, God, bring all of that to fulfillment. Do it, God. Give us the desires of our heart. Put your desires in our heart and then give us those desires, right? Grant us all we desire. Make us want what you want and then give us what we want. That's what he's praying here. He knew them. He knew their work of faith. He knew their labor of love. And so he's just praying that God would fulfill every longing in their heart and make it all happen, that every desire for goodness, every work of faith that they aspire to do for God's glory would happen. And then why? Well, thirdly, so that, verse 12, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So the overarching motivation in all of it is that the Lord would be glorified, you know? Is that the overarching motivation in your prayers, in your life, in your desires, in your pursuits? That his name be glorified in you and your glory be in him. That's the prayer. I think that's how we ought to pray for each other. That's how we ought to pray for ourselves. That's how we ought to pray for these friends that are serving wherever they are, in China, wherever it may be, people that have God has put on their heart great things to do for his glory and for the honor of his name. And our prayer is, Lord, fulfill all of that, you know? And help us too to think bigger. We have a big God. What big thing will we dare to do that he might be glorified? So that gives us some thoughts, doesn't it? And this presentation as well, for things to pray for. So let's take some time, maybe peel off into groups of three or four or five, whatever's convenient for where you are. And let's just take the rest of some time here to pray for the things we've seen and heard tonight, and even pray for our own lives, that we would just have a bigger heart for the things of the Lord, and that our desires would line up with his purposes and his desires for us. Okay, so do that, and then as your group finishes praying, you're dismissed to go on back and eat.